you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Welcome to church. It's so good to see you. Just want to welcome you. Thank you for being with us. Want to look at the camera. Welcome all of those of you who are watching online. Just really, really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, no matter where you are. What an honor it is to have you with us. Church, would you do me a favor, all those that are watching, would you just give it up for them? Thank them for being here. Woo! We're so glad to have you. It's awesome. It's awesome. So I don't know if you know this or not, but recently we just really relaunched our website. It is, it's all brand new. So if you haven't been on there recently, I encourage you to go check it out because it is better than it was. So I encourage you to go check that out. But it's also given us the opportunity now with our cameras, with our new website, we are now video archiving our messages so you can play them back, watch them back later, which is pretty exciting. And it's also helping us to reach people that we've never reached before, quite frankly. We have a podcast and a lot of people do listen to that, but now we have a brand new opportunity pioneering into a new way for us anyway. So I just want to encourage you guys, tell your friends, man. They don't even have to be in our state. They don't have to show up at this time. They can still receive the power of God's word. And if they're interested, they can follow along. So I would just love to encourage you to check it out or tell your friends about it. Amen. Sound good? Can you do that? Awesome. Awesome. Well, my name is Pastor Josh. I see just a lot of faces that look brand new. I just want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. Last week was a really fun week for me. We're actually in the third part today of the sermon series we've been calling Face to Face, and I didn't do part two last week. In fact, Pastor Derek preached last week. If you guys were here and enjoyed it, would you give it up for Pastor Derek? Yeah. That dude is awesome and very, very funny, is he not? Derek thinks a different way than anybody I know, really, and I mean that the best way possible, but he thinks differently. He honestly operates a lot differently. He says things I don't know that most of us might not say sometimes, but he brings such a strength to our church as a result of it. Honestly, his way of thinking makes our church better, quite frankly, because sometimes I can be up in the clouds and he's my ground check guy, you know, and he'll just say, hey, what about this? And what are your thoughts here? And really, really full of wisdom. I know that he gets up here and cuts up and tells funny stories, but there is a depth in him that we are blessed as a church to have. So thank you, brother, for sharing with us last week. But I want to say this, that last week, it didn't go the way that I thought it would go. My expectation of last Sunday was that I was going to come in and sit on the front row, and I was going, amen, my brother. You know what I mean? I'll say, yeah, you get him, Pastor Derek. Yeah, sounds good. Like, I just kind of thought that was what the day was going to be. And I got that opportunity in the first service of the day. I was able to just sit in and receive the word. But then I spent the whole rest of the day after that just touring our church, quite frankly. I was in kids' classrooms and got to be a part of the amazing fun and serve that your children are receiving next door. I got to, at every level, just all the way down to infancy, got to be a part of that. I got to serve on the parking team last week, which is way, way fun for me. I was driving the golf cart and it was just awesome. I love it. The more people you get me around, the better I am, the more fun I'm having. So just being able to take you to and from your cars and just have some conversation was just big, big fun. But here's what I want to say, that I was so honestly, I knew our team was great, but I was just so just energized by everything I experienced last weekend. I mean, this church is a great church. I'm not trying to be arrogant to say that because I get more credit than I deserve, quite frankly. I say that all the time because it's true. Man, our team is amazing, y'all. And I mean, what your kids are receiving next door is powerful and life-giving and fun. And I mean, from the onset, the minute you show up into the parking lot, our team is full of life and smiles and enthusiasm and energy. And man, I just, Dream Team, I love y'all so much. Thank you for what you do. Church, will you give it up for the Dream Teamers that serve. You guys are amazing. Absolutely amazing. I would encourage you to do this. Can you do me a favor? Will you do me a favor? When you go next door after this service to check your children out, I want you to just tell the team that Pastor Josh was bragging about y'all. You guys are awesome. I want you to high five them. Tell them thank you for serving well, because what they do really, really, truly is just amazing. So they're way over there. See, they don't get to hear this. So you got to tell them. All right. Can you do that for me? You go tell them how great they are. Tell them I said so, because they really, really deserve to hear it. But I want to get into the word. Get your worship guides out if you would. Let's open up those. Grab a pen and take some notes with me today. If you don't have a pen, I would just encourage you just kind of wave, and our ushers will make sure that you get one. But I would love for you to follow along and take some notes. But I want to kind of remind you, I mentioned it earlier, that this is part number three of a series that we've been in. It's called Face to Face. And the idea behind this series is exactly this, that I want our church more than anything to know and understand that God wants to know you in a very personal way. His heart's desire is to know you very closely and very personally, and I want to share that with you today. And I get the opportunity today to talk about Moses' story, which is pretty exciting for me. I love the story of Moses. Last week, if you were with us, you heard the story of Jacob from Pastor Derek. If you've ever heard it said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's exactly who he talked about. And today, I get to talk about the story of Moses. And here's where we're going to start. This is kind of our theme verse. I love starting series on themes. And this is sort of the foundational verse of everything that we've been teaching this month. But the Bible says that the Lord would speak to Moses. I want you to say these next three words with me, face to face. I love that. The Bible says that he would have this conversation. He would talk with Moses and he would do it in the most personal way. It would just be face to face. And then I love the endearing attachment that the Bible adds here. It says like a friend would talk to a friend, very personally, very, very relationally. And I'm sure that we all have those friends, right? Everybody's got those friends where there's comfort in the relationship. You can just talk to that friend no matter how long it's been. And even if it's like silent for a little while, it's not awkward. You know what I'm talking about, right? You guys got those friends. That's exactly what the Bible is describing here in the life of Moses, is that he and the Lord would speak face to face the way one friend would speak to another. And here's what I want to declare this morning right out of the gate, is this is what God desires to have with you. Amen. That was about 97% better a statement than you responded to it. This is what God intends to have with you, a personal relationship that is close, like a friend speaks to a friend, one that is face to face. But here's what I want to point out to you this morning, and you're going to see it in the story of Moses, is that Moses didn't start this way. He ended up this way. And I know that some of you are sitting there right now and you're thinking to yourself like, well, man, this doesn't even apply, because there's no way that I could get that close to God. Because your picture is there's this giant God way out there, and then there's your life way over here. And I just want to dispel the myth. That is not true. God's greatest desire is to be near you and to know you and to have friendship with you. Can somebody agree with that one?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to show you this in the context of the story. This is chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, but I want to go back to a different part of the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. And I'll set the stage here for you just a little bit. What I love about Moses' story is that most people know the story, because you've seen the old movies, right? You know, and you've seen the old where God speaks to Moses. He says, Moses, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Or maybe a little more modern day, you've seen the Disney film, Prince of Egypt, right? Like, we kind of get a grip, most of us anyway, sort of have an understanding of the story of Moses. But I'm going to give you the context just in case you don't know it. But this is a story of a guy who was, as the shows show us and the Bible tells us, that when he was young, there was a threat on his life. So his mother put him in a basket and she sent him down the river, where he was found by a princess in Egypt. And she had a heart for him and took him in, and he wasn't killed. He was spared. And then he became, as the Disney movie tells us, the Prince of Egypt, right? He was raised in this life of luxury, this life of royalty, kind of had it all. I mean, if there was any kind of bonus to a life that you could live, he was living it. He had everything that he could ever imagine. But in the course of his life, knowing that his heritage was Hebrew, coincidentally and unfortunately in that time, Hebrew people were being held captive in Egypt. They were slaves. And all of a sudden, as Moses began to get older, it's like he couldn't escape that it was bothering him. Like, I'm one of them, and yet I'm living in this place of royalty, and they're living under this oppression. And then the Bible says that one day he noticed that there was an Egyptian slave driver beating a Hebrew slave, and the Bible says that Moses attacked that guy and he killed him. And then after that, he kind of realizes, like, uh-oh, this isn't good, right? So he says, I got to get out of here. And Moses just jets out, the Bible says, off into the wilderness. And then this is kind of where we pick up the story. And the Bible says that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And I think it's interesting, by the way, that he just came from royalty and having everything he could ever imagine to going to a place where he doesn't even have his own stuff. Life, go ahead and bring that other mic. Bring that mic right there. We won't even play this game. Check. Yeah. All right, cool. All right. Yeah. All right. Very good. So I find it interesting that he doesn't even have his own stuff. Moses is in this place where he just went from royalty and having everything he could ever imagine to now he's looking after somebody else's stuff. He doesn't even have his own things. And the Bible says that he's watching this flock of sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro, great name, by the way, if you're pregnant, just consider it for your baby. Jethro, who's the priest of Midian. And check this out. And he led the flock, and I highlighted this because I want you to see it. The Bible says to the far side of the wilderness. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And I'm going to walk through this very slowly with you because there's a context I need you to grab for you to receive what God has for you today. But many of you in your journey, in your life, this is where you are. Because in your opinion or in your state or wherever you are in your spiritual condition, God is far from you. It's like God is way over there and I'm way over here. And then always the result, when we see the wilderness is always pointing to something unknown, something that is scary, something that we don't understand. Many translations use the word desert here, that he was on the far side of the desert. And what I want to say to you is anytime that we are far from God, it is scary, unknown, and dry. We're just in a place where we don't really understand what's going on. And some of you in this room, this is exactly how you feel. You're far from God. You're lost in this wilderness place, and you don't even understand how to make the change. So the Bible says that he took the flock to the far side of this wilderness, to the Mount of Horeb, which is the mountain of God. And there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. How many of you guys know that's weird? Okay. I mean, if you went to a bonfire and they threw a log on it and then they never had to throw another log on it, like that's not normal. Wouldn't you agree? And here goes Moses and he's just about his normal business, man. All he's doing is he's just doing the thing that he always does, but something unusual is taking place and he begins to recognize, okay, there's a bush over here and it's burning, but the bush is not consumed. Something's unusual about this. And here's what I want to say to some of you is that you're having a burning bush experience in your life. And what I mean by that is that God is doing something inside of you that's unusual. And too oftentimes we get too afraid of the unusual. Can I tell you this? God doesn't fit inside your box. Amen. Let me put it to you this way. I wasn't that great of a student. Like I was a C kind of a student. You know what I mean? Like if I didn't have D's on the report card, my parents were like, way to go, son. All right. Right. I can barely spell my name correctly. I have some intellectual limitations to be certain. There is no doubt about it. And I'm just one that is glad that I can't fit God in here. Amen. Because I understand the extreme limitations that my mind have, so I'm super excited that God's bigger than that. And here's what I want to say to you, that God has this habit of doing unusual things. Things that might make you feel uncomfortable. And I would also like to point out, by the way, that this is the only time that God burned a bush, but he didn't burn the bush, and then he talked out of the bush. Like it never happened again, and it never happened before. And we have the tendency, like if this happened modern day, we would be the first church of the burning bush, right? Well, this is how God speaks, obviously. He speaks through burning bushes, and we're not careful. We can latch on to something that's of yesterday and forsake the fact that God sometimes wants to do a new thing, and sometimes the new thing is a little bit unusual. And here's what I want to say, because I have this mindset as your pastor that I want you to hear me say, that I'm always thinking, I'm always sitting over there on that front row, and I'm always thinking about the people that have never come into a context like this.
and you didn't grow up in church, and you don't really know what the next thing to do is, and you're a little bit uncomfortable, and you know, you got people raising their hands, and you're kind of like, what is somebody pointing a gun at them? Like, what's going on? I thought it was amazing, by the way, to see people just coming up worshiping the Lord in the front this morning. And I know that some of you are kind of like, man, is this one of those crazy churches? Come on, you were thinking it. You were wondering, like, what's about to happen next? Because all of a sudden, sometimes things, they start getting a little uncomfortable. They start getting a little unusual. And I just want you to know, honestly, as your pastor, I think about you more than I think about anything else. Because I want you comfortable. I want you to be able to come into a place where you can receive everything that God has for you, or at least get the start of it all, where God can download some things into your heart. But here's what I want to say. Don't be put off by unusual, because God has a habit of doing things that are unusual. He did it in the life of Moses through this burning bush. So the Bible says that Moses thought to himself, man, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to see this. I've got to check it out. And here's what I want to declare to you, that some of you, God is doing something on the inside of you and you don't really understand it. And it might feel a little bit uncomfortable and you're not quite sure what the next step is, but it's time for you to check it out. You need to look at it, because the Bible says that Moses made this decision. I'm going to go see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up, right? Good question, isn't it, everybody? Moses, everybody, is a rubbernecker. I just want y'all to know that, all right? You guys drive around them on the highway, do you? They drive me crazy. Like, you're driving, you're trying to get somewhere, there's flashy lights on the side of the road. Everybody's got to stop and see. It's just a highway patrolman helping an old lady change the tire. Let's move on already. Come on, right? So Moses is creating a traffic jam in the desert. I got to go check this out. There's flashy lights. I need to see what's going on over here, because the bush isn't burning up. But the Bible says that when the Lord saw that he took notice, when the Lord recognized, oh, I have his attention, the Bible said that's when God began to speak. I want to say this to you, that God makes promises. His word is full of them. That if we will go after the heart of God, that we will find him there. If we will pursue God, he will be found by us. Jeremiah 33:3 says that. James 4:8 tells us that. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that. There's just plethoras of scripture where the Bible says, man, if you'll just go after God, you'll find him there. Even if it's unusual, even if it's something you don't understand, even if it's a context that you're not comfortable in, the Bible says it was when Moses took notice, when he understood something was going on and he gave his attention to it, that God began to speak. And then that's where we get the old movie, Moses, right? But watch this, because I want you to see some things. And Moses said, here I am. Don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And I want you to notice, then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and there he is, the God of Jacob. That's who Pastor Derek talked about last week. And at this is what I want you to see. At this, the Bible says, Moses hid his face. Now, you remember just a few moments ago, we read from Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, and the Bible says that Moses knew God like a friend knows a friend. They would speak face to face. But in this context, Moses didn't start there. He started in a place where he would hide his face. And I believe that there are some of you in this room where you're in that place. We're like, I don't understand this big God. I don't understand this whole church scene. I'm not really sure what God's trying to do in my life. And we have this thing where we just wanna hide our faces. This is exactly where Moses began. So what I wanna say to you is, you're in good company. If you're feeling like the person that's trying to hide your face, or that you don't understand it, that's okay. That should be perfectly fine with you, because this is a journey that we're on. It's a progression of steps. This life of faith is something that we start and we step. And we step and we step, and eventually God takes us into the place where he wants us to be, a place where we know him relationally. We know him face to face. We know him in a way that's like a friend knows a friend. Amen, somebody. So here's what I want to do. I want to identify some obstacles. These are obstacles that Moses recognized, and these are obstacles that I think maybe can apply to all of our lives. But the first thing is that Moses asked this question. Because he didn't understand this whole deal. And he asked this question to God, and maybe you felt like this, but he said, hey, God, who am I? Like, really? Me? Have you seen me? Do you know my story? Did you know, God, that I have a checkered past? Did you know that some time ago I actually killed a man? Did you know that I don't even really know where I came from? Did you know that I've lived a double life? That there's a part of me that isn't the person you're meeting here in the desert? Do you know that I have an identity crisis going on the inside of me? Am I a Hebrew or am I an Egyptian? I mean, do you know, God, who you're really dealing with? I mean, who am I that you could ever use me for anything great, for anything powerful, for anything glorious? Who am I? Has anybody ever felt this way before? Let me put you at ease. I know that I have. I know that I have felt this way. Because in this context, what God is saying to Moses is he's saying, hey, I need you, by the way, to go back to Egypt. Yeah, that's right. Go back to all those people that you know. Go back to the place where you grew up. I want you to go back, but I don't want you to go back for them. I want you to go back for my people. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you're going to be the voice, and you're going to be the leader, and you're going to be the one that I'm going to use to carry my people from one place to another. You're going to be the one that I'm going to speak to and speak through. You're going to be the one. And then Moses did what I think all of us do. Who am I? Well, look at what he says right here. But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I want you to notice, I will be with you. I want you to notice that God didn't give him his identity. He just simply said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He simply spoke to the power that he has. Because can I tell you something? Listen to me very carefully. None of us in and of ourselves are enough. Amen, Pastor Josh. That's real. That's right. Because none of us in and of ourselves are enough. We're not strong enough. We're not talented enough. We're not smart enough. We're not capable enough. So when God approaches us with the opportunity to potentially do something great, to have a relationship, to take a step with him, and we said, I don't know, God, who am I? He says, I don't need you to worry about who you are because I'm going to be with you. I've got your back because I'm everything. I'm strong enough. I'm big enough, and I'll bridge the gap of all your deficiencies. Don't you worry. I've got your back. And here's the obstacle that I think that we oftentimes face is this. It's the obstacle to overcome condemnation. Because the enemy would love nothing more than to make us feel condemned about who we are. He would love nothing more than to make us feel bad about our lives or to say, yeah, that's right. Who are you? Yeah, I remember. You know your life. You know those things you did. You know those mistakes that you've made. There's no way that God could use somebody like you. Are you kidding me? I've seen you and you've seen you. Your family has seen you. Your friends have seen you. God can't use somebody like you. And then we start to stagger back in the obstacle of saying, well, who am I? Well, there's no way that God could ever do something in me. There's no way that God would ever want to be face to face with somebody like me. Oh, no, there's no way that God would ever want to have a relationship with me. Who am I? This is an obstacle that the enemy would love to put in your life to stop you from knowing him face to face. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you need it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you this. I'll go a step further, that there is a big difference between condemnation and conviction. Because condemnation says you're guilty, you're unworthy, you're not good enough, you've made mistakes, you got problems. Condemnation points to every flaw. What conviction is when the Spirit of God begins to point to things in our lives and say, hey, we need to grow out of this. I'm going to help you. So anytime your life feels overwhelmed with shame, I just want you to be able to identify who's speaking to you, because that's the enemy, not your father.
Right.
That's the voice of Satan, because the Bible actually describes him to be the accuser of the brethren, and the brethren is the church. He's the one who loves to say, oh yeah, who are you? Because look at this thing and that thing. You remember that time? How could you do what you did last night and then come in here and think that God would actually want to know you face to face? That's the lie of the enemy. Because Jesus tells us, the Bible says that Jesus died while we were yet still sinners. And our worst condition is when Jesus died for us. Like on my worst day is the moment that Christ died for me. Come on, somebody. I'm going to show you this, not in your notes, John chapter 3 and verse 17. Because John 3:16, right? we probably all could quote it, even if you didn't go to church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see it between the goalposts of the football games and all that kind of stuff. But the very next verse, the very next words, is he makes sure to say, oh, by the way, God did not send his son into the world to condemn. It's not his role. It's not who he is, and it's not what he does. He doesn't condemn you. It's the Spirit of God that grows us and changes us. In fact, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to change. It's his goodness that makes our heart want to change. It's not condemnation. It's not saying, you messed it up. Nobody needs to remind me how imperfect I am.
Right.
I got a pretty good mark on that. In fact, I have to fight my way through the flaws and the imperfections inside of me. Most oftentimes, what I need to be reminded of is who God is in me.
Amen.
Amen. Next verse. The Bible says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but notice, because of his mercy. It's the mercy of God that changes. It's the mercy of God that saves. It's the mercy of God that draws us to a place where he says, yeah, I just want to know you like a friend knows a friend. I'm not concerned about your yesterdays. I'm concerned about your tomorrow. The second thing that Moses would say as he began to identify some questions that he had of God is he said, okay, my first question was this. I needed to know, like, who am I? Why would you pick me? I can't do this. The second question, God, is this. Who are you? I mean, who are you? I've never talked to burning bushes before. I've never had an experience like this before. I've never been in an atmosphere like this before. Who are you? Notice the question that he asks. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And then they ask me, who is, like, what is his name? What should I tell them? I mean, he's asking, like, I don't even know who's sending me. What should it be? And he said, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Which almost sounds like real foggy and unclear, but he's basically saying every good thing that you've ever experienced, yeah, I'm that. Oh, love, yeah, I'm that. Yeah, I'm that. Yeah, strength, yeah, I'm that. Forgiveness, I'm that, right? It's like, man, I am. All the good things you've ever experienced in your life, like, I am that thing. That's who's coming to get you. That's who's coming to rescue you. That's who they're gonna know. That's how they're gonna know because of who I am in you. So don't be worried about who you are. You just worry about who I am in you because you can't do anything in and of yourself, but I can do all things through you. Come on, amen. Man, I'm getting preachy. Y'all, I'm about to preach in this place. All right, the second thing, that I think that this speaks to us. The obstacle that we have to overcome is the obstacle of doubt. Doubt. And I know for me, man, that I sometimes have doubts. Doubts about what God might be saying. Doubts about what God might be doing. Doubts about some of the things that I see God, like, I'm not sure, I'm uncomfortable. God, what are you trying to do? Come on, am I the only one? Do you ever have doubts? You ever doubt that God can pull you out of the place that you're in? You ever doubt that God can heal the friend? You ever doubt that you'll ever get your finances in order? You ever have doubts? I mean, do you ever doubt that maybe there are going to be things that might always be this way for you and you've almost resigned yourself just to accept them because, well, I guess this is my lot in life. This must be my thorn in my side like Paul had. And sometimes we just reserve ourselves to struggle and trial and things because we've reduced ourselves to a place of doubt and our faith in God isn't strong. So we just say, oh, well, God, I guess this is just the way that it's always going to be. But I want to encourage you with Jeremiah chapter 32. Watch this right here because some of you need this. You need to memorize this. I love the refreshing beginning. Ah, Lord God, right? It's like, ah, it's so good. He says, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Come on now. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is beyond your reach. Nothing is beyond your care. There's nothing that I could ever say. There's nothing that I could ever do that would cause you not to love me, to not want a relationship with me. The first obstacle we have to overcome is condemnation. The second is doubt. Notice with me the third question that Moses would ask, and I would have to say that I resonate maybe with this one the most. But number three, he said, what if they? Well, what if they? Well, what if they don't believe me? Watch the question. And Moses answered, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and what I have to say? What if they say the Lord didn't appear to you? What if they say, no, there's no way? What if they say no? What if they make fun of me for being a Christian? What if I lose my friends because they don't like what I'm doing these days? What if we say, let's have three services and people don't come to them all, Lord God? And what if we say, let's buy some cameras and maybe we can reach a new audience? What if they don't watch it, Lord? What if we do these cool things in our church? What if they don't like the golf cart? Come on, I'm just going to preach to myself for a minute, because sometimes I find myself saying, what if they? What if they? Well, what if they don't like it? Or what if they don't come? Or what if we don't see this? Or what if we don't see that? And all of a sudden, there are times when we start asking, what if they? What if they? What if they? Because all of a sudden, the enemy wants to get us more concerned on what the people around us think than what God is thinking of us or what God is calling us to do. Yeah. And he says, well, God, what if they? So the obstacle that we have to overcome here, come on, throw it up there for me, brother, so I don't have to turn around and look at my notes. Right, there we go. Is the obstacle of fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that what if I mess it up? What if it goes wrong? What if it doesn't work out the way that I thought it would? I'll tell you a quick story. I had a guy, he's in our church, and he came to me one time. He said, hey, Josh, could I take you to dinner? Can I buy you? I want to talk to you about something. Could I take you to dinner? And I said, yeah, man, let's do it. And he bought me a steak, by the way, which is always a win. And and he took me to dinner, and he said, hey, I got this little bit of a dilemma that I want to talk to you about, because God has radically changed my life. Like, my heart is, like, I'm a different person than I used to be before. My life is completely different. And because my life is completely different, I don't go to the places that I used to go. And I don't hang with some of the people that I used to hang with. And in fact, some of them don't even call me anymore to do stuff. And quite frankly, there are some dudes that I don't think they really approve of everything that I've got going on. And now I basically, man, I'm kind of alone. What do I do? And I said, bro, you're not alone, because you're going toward that burning bush in your life. You're going to the place that God is calling you to be, and he'll never leave you lonely there. He'll never leave you alone there, because he's there for you. He wants to know you face to face the way a friend knows a friend. And I said, look, man, you need to keep getting in God's house, because your brothers are there, your sisters are there. You need to come getting to the place in the house of God. And between the Sundays, get in that life group and start building relationships. What you need is a new they, because the old they is going to keep you on the far side of the desert and the dry wilderness places of your life, and you'll never fulfill the things that God's calling you to go to. But if you'll get away from that they and find you a new they, then you don't have to be concerned about your yesterday, because God has a bright and a brand new tomorrow for you. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody needs this, because you're way too concerned about what you're going to forfeit to go to the burning bush that God's calling you to in your life. And I believe that God sent me to stand with my toes hanging off the edge of this platform, shout through the microphone, telling you, you need a new they. Amen. Overcome the fear of losing your reputation, losing your clout, and losing all that stuff. Man, you're not satisfied with it anyway. Deep down, if you were honest, it's not fulfilling you to begin with. Come on, let's look at God's word. Many people, this is a cool story about Jesus. Many people did believe in him. Jesus it's speaking about. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders. But notice, they wouldn't admit it for fear. They were afraid. They wouldn't admit the fact that they knew Jesus for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. Watch this. Don't be guilty. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. And I'm just telling you, I just believe that there's somebody in this room and you need to hear it. It's time. It's time for you to just find a new they, because fear has held you back far too long about the bright new future that God wants to call you to. Yeah, but pastor, who am I? And I don't know God that well. Who is he? And I'm a little bit afraid. I mean, I'm not sure. No. What if they get a new they? get a new they. I didn't even say this in the first service. So this is for somebody. It's time for you to get a new they. Amen. 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 Let's move on. What we got, bro? Keeping me on track. This verse right here, I love it. It was inspired in my heart. I'll tell you a quick story about it. Can I do that? Is that all right? You all right if we go over a couple of minutes? Because we might. The other day I was texting one of our high school seniors in our church and just becoming somebody I'm really pouring into, quite frankly, just somebody I'm starting to invest into. And anyway, we were texting. He was asking me a question, and I was trying to encourage him. So I shot a text back, and I said, you know, blah, blah, blah. There was my encouragement. And then he texts back, and he said, yeah, Romans 1:16, baby. And I was like, yeah, what's that say? As I didn't know. So I opened up my Bible and read Romans 1:16 and then decided, yeah, baby. And I've memorized it. I challenged myself, thank you, to my high school senior. But the Bible says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, for the Jew and for the Gentile. Let me just put that in modern day language. That's you. That's Lottie Dottie, everybody. And I just want you to know that I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Man, if it costs me everything, then I've lost nothing because I just want to make sure that I'm walking in the fulfillment and the fullness that God would call my life to. And man, some of you guys need to just dig in your heels and say, you know what? I don't understand all this stuff. I'm brand new to all this stuff, but I'm going to draw a line in the sand. I'm not going back anymore. I'm going to the burning bush. No more fear. No more fear. Amen. Amen. Number four, we're going to land the plane right here. We're in the descent, y'all. The last thing that the statement that Moses would make to the Father is he said, yeah, but God, I have never, I've never gone into a situation like this. Yeah, God, I've never been a churchgoer. God, I've never been one of those spiritual people. Like God, I've just never really done that before. God, I've never done anything to change the habits of my life. God, I've never witnessed to somebody before, and I feel like that's what you're calling me to do. Or God, I've never led a life group. I mean, how could you want me to lead one? God, I've never done that before. God, I've never taken that next step and gotten into the water of baptism in front of my church. I'm an introvert. I'm nervous about that. Those people are going to cheer for me and take pictures and stuff. I've never, and I have never can paralyze us from ever. Steps that God is saying, oh, how I want you to take them if you'll take them. Don't worry about it if you've never done it before. And some of you are so brand new to the whole church thing. And I pray, gosh, man, I hope more than anything that when you come to Church on the Rock, because I can only be responsible to lead one church, and it's this one. And I hope more than anything that when you come here, you don't get what you expected. I specifically pray that people would come here expecting some religious gathering and get an encounter with God. Because we're not doing this for the music or the sermon. We're not doing this for the cameras or for the carpet. Mm-mm. We're doing this so that people that are being attacked by a real enemy can have a real encounter with the real God. Like, that's what it's all about. And I know that some of you are saying, yeah, but I've never been in atmospheres like this. That's okay. That's okay. Because for you, can I help you? For you, Sunday morning is your burning bush. Because for some of you, it's like, well, that's like, Pastor, that's weird enough. Okay. Do like Moses did. Go see it. Keep going to see it. Because there's something about God that when we pursue him, he always meets us there. And I just want to encourage you, just keep going to see it. I don't even want you to get in a life group yet. I just want, like, this is it right here. And then some of you, your burning bush, it's the life group. It's like that next step for you. Well, I've never been in a small setting like that. And I mean, I don't know. What if I have to talk? Well, what if you get in that life group and find out you're not the only one? What if you get in that life group and you're like, oh my God, these people are broken too. Like, oh my gosh, seriously? You say those words? Because I say, right? Because look around you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Look at them. Look at them. See them? They're just like you. Broken and needing Jesus. The only difference is some of us have started the relationship face to face. So the broken things on the inside of me, yeah, there are things. Can I tell you something? There are things in me that are still broken. Just because they call me pastor doesn't make me perfect. If I waited till I was perfect to preach, I wouldn't have anything to say. And I still have issues and I still have struggles and I don't always parent well and I don't always husband well. I don't always pastor well. I darn sure don't always drive well. Like I'm real good at it, but sometimes the other people. Pray for them because I'm doing it all right. I just want you to know that. All I'm saying is that every person in this room needs to pursue your burning bush. There's more. And don't let the obstacles hinder you. Don't let Satan condemn you and make you feel like you're not worthy. It's not about your worth. It's about what Jesus did. Don't let doubt that you can't fulfill it or you can't be it. Don't let the doubt interrupt you. Don't be afraid of people or your reputation or mistakes. Don't be afraid of that. And then the last one, we'll skip. You got it in your notes. We're gonna go right to our challenge. It's the obstacle of reluctance. Well, I'm just reluctant. I don't know. So I just don't know. Here's what I want to say. Because again, and forgive me if it doesn't apply. I'm just trying to preach to those who are real new to this. But I'm not saying you should make church a habit so that we can have better attendance numbers. I'm saying you should make church a habit because it's the only place you go to where you actually have an encounter with God. So go there and make it regular. Like, stop letting it be if you have time or if you're not tired. Stop. Pre-decide, I'm going to the house of God. My kids never, ever ask me, are we going to church on Sunday? They never ask. You want to know why? We've pre-decided. It's not what we do. It is who we are. We honor God by being in his house. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I don't ever want you to ever come to this church and apologize, ever. Because sometimes people, they'll meet me in the lobby and they'll say, hey, Pastor, good morning. I'm so sorry. We hadn't been. Whoa, stop. Don't say I'm sorry. I'm so glad you're here. Come on in, man. Be comfortable. I don't have a record thing on your attendance. Like, come on, man. There's no perfect attendance awards or none of that stuff. Like, that's not what this is about. All I'm saying is, if this is the only place that you're actually having an encounter with God, why would you leave it? Why wouldn't you do it? Keep coming here. Make it a part of the routine. And then when you come here and all of a sudden you start building some friendships and some relationships, and I'm just going to encourage you, we'll take the next step and get in a life group. And get around people because it's hard to get super relational here. I mean, I can't get in an in-depth conversation with you here because obviously, you know, there's limited time and I'm about to go over it. You know what I'm saying? But that might be your next step. All I'm trying to do is help you grow, because what I would love is the body of Christ. And I mean, that goes way bigger than our church, right? The body of Christ to be a bunch of people that know God face to face. Face to face, like a friend knows a friend. Maybe you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, and maybe you're here this morning and pastor hadn't been talking to you, the Spirit of God has. He has been doing something inside of your heart. Some of you came in here asking, who am I? Who am I? And God said, oh, don't worry about that because I know who I am. And some of you came in here asking, well, God, who are you?
And he's saying to you, oh, I'm the greatest thing you'll ever encounter. And some of you came in here asking, well, what if they? What if they? And he's saying, oh, don't worry, I got a lot of better things for you. Just trust me. Just trust me. We could come in here with all kinds of questions. Moses had questions. And he started his relationship with God in a place where he felt that he needed to hide his face. But he continued to pursue beyond every point of discomfort until the time that he knew God face to face, the way one friend knows another. So I'd like to ask everybody in the whole room to bow your heads and close your eyes, because maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus. You've been trying to answer all the questions. And what I want to say to you, this is a faith step. In fact, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm asking you to trust him so that you can have a relationship with him that is face to face. Maybe you're watching us online somewhere else at a different time, and God is speaking to your heart and he's speaking into your life. And you're saying, gosh, I've never made that decision. I just want to help you. I want to invite you to choose right there where you are. I want to invite you to make that decision. Whether you're in this room now or you're watching on a screen later, I want to encourage you to make that decision right now, right where you are. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to help you with that. And church, I'm going to ask every single person in this auditorium to repeat this prayer after me, because some people are going to be saying it for the very first time. This is a brand new moment for them. And I want you to say these words. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. I surrender my heart to you. I invite you in. Help me to overcome the obstacles. Answer my questions. Make me new. Wash away my sin. I repent of those sins. I offer my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.